Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good, smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good, smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Today's episode trigger warnings are death and explicit sexual content.
And I got a review for you guys.
Yeah, baby.
Yay.
This one is a comment on Spotify, and it's from Rain Jaffanade. I hope I said your last name right. It's beautiful. It says, it's 12 a.m. and I'm laughing my ass off. This crew is super funny as fuck, and I'm here for it.
Oh, thanks.
It's
nice.
The
thank
best
you.
Compliment.
Thank you.
And this week, we're telling Riley all about War by Laura Thalassa. And how many stars did you guys give it on Goodreads?
I started out and I was texting Charlotte and I was like, this one is so much better than Pestilence. I was going on about it. And then about halfway through, no, 3 stars.
3?
Gasp.
I only like one thing about this book, and that's War himself.
Yeah, War's cool. This one is a reread for me, and both times I gave it 4 stars. I liked it better than Pestilence. I understand where Shelby's coming from. There is a lot of repetitive, like, they kind of do the same thing over and over and over again throughout the book.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
For, like, the whole book.
Yeah. But once we get to Famine, that's where it gets... Mm.
Ooh, I haven't read it. I'm so excited to do that one.
I gave it a 5-star. I loved it. I expect nothing less.
I feel like at first it was probably like a 4, and then towards the end I gave it a 5-star because like this book is like the epitome of an enemies to lover. And I think that's why I like it so much.
Yes.
Because like the whole time, like enemies to lovers. So I had a really fun time reading it.
Okay. Oh, and Shelby, you didn't like the female main character, right?
No.
Okay.
Is there a reason?
She's kind of a little stinker.
Oh.
She's a stinkaboo.
I got nothing. I don't want to like say spoilers.
Just let us know when we get to it.
Okay.
The book opens up year 13 of The Horsemen, and it's in the Middle East. And our main character, who is 22, is having a nightmare of presumed war and then drowning, like extreme PTSD. There's someone behind her walking on the streets, and her survival instincts kick in, and she starts reciting the safety mantra in her head that has kept her alive for the past 7 years. 1, bend the rules, don't break them. 2, stick to the truth. 3, avoid notice. 4, listen to your instincts. And 5, be brave. The book starts out by literally like killing this man in the streets, and he was like stalking her, and she was like, hey, stop. And he didn't. So she straight up just shot him in the throat with an arrow.
As you do.
A man or a bear, pick your poison. She goes through his bag and she finds a knife, rope, crowbar, and she's like, damn, like this man was really about to murder me. And this isn't the first time that she's killed someone, and it won't be her last. She's in the woods trying to make a bow and arrow shaft. Like she like kind of like ran away and she's like, oh shit, I gotta get out of here. Making weapons is like her thing. And she hears a slight noise, so she turns into an abandoned house that's like by the woods, and because she doesn't want another run-in with anyone else, and she doesn't want to kill anyone because she really hates doing it, but she will do it to keep herself alive. It wasn't until the sound of hooves that she was like, what the fuck, and looked out the window.
A monster of a man sits on his blood-red steed, a massive sword strapped to his back. There are gold rings in his dark hair, and coal thickly lines his eyes. His cheekbones are high, and the scowl he wears makes him look absolutely petrifying.
Oh, he sounds kind of hot.
Okay, I will say, when we got his description, I was like, Khal Drogo, is that you? So that's how I picture the whole book now. And he's yeah. so hot.
Hot. He is called Drogo.
I can totally see that. Well, homegirl, she's quaking in her boots that the war horseman is upon her. She makes a little squeal sound, and Mr. War swings his gaze to her, and she, of course, like, tries to, like, duck and hide. And then she hears, rather than sees, the horseman come right up to the window. And then she hears, like, the click-clacking of the hooves walk away. And just when she's positive that he's gone, she hears multiple hooves and takes a peek out the window and sees thousands of horses and people strapped with weapons, and it's clear that this is an invasion and war is upon them.
So it may be too early for me to ask, but what does War do?
He does war.
Yeah.
So does he just bring a bunch of his brethren?
They're not brethren.
It's like an army. It's like a man-made army.
But who would they come from? Heaven with him?
Oh, we'll tell you in just a moment.
Okay. See? Sorry. Jump the gun.
Instead of running the opposite way that the army was going, she has zero survival instincts, I guess, and decides to run towards it. She's like, that's my home. And rule number five is be brave. So she was like, I have to be brave.
No.
I'd be like, fuck my home.
Yeah. Not at all times. Yeah. You do not need to be brave at all times.
No. Be a coward.
Be a coward. Do it.
Yeah.
Would probably save your life.
Yeah.
By the time that she gets back home, her home is on fire and ransacked, and she's able to get some of her weapons and thankfully leaves the building safely. But then she comes face to face with War. She knocks her bow and arrow and says to herself, aim for the chest. And it's like almost like he heard her thoughts. He looks at her and then races straight towards her on his horse. She's like, oh shit. She tries running away, but she's met with a locked door, and then she comes face to face again with War.
He's huge, taller than a normal man, and every centimeter of him is built like a warrior. Broad shoulders, thick arms, lean waist, and powerful legs. Even his face has the look of some tragic hero, his feral masculine beauty only serving to make him appear more lethal. That is Khal Drogo.
Yeah.
Hot. He pulls out a sword, and she notices that it gleams silver, and each one of his knuckles have symbols that glow red. She tries to hit him with the arrows and only lands one, which is honestly impressive, in his shoulder, and he picks it off like it's lint on his shirt and tries to fight him off with the dagger, and he just like literally knocks it out of the way. And after that, she's just looking upon this massive man, and she knew that she was going to die. Only as Mr. War looked upon her, their gazes are locked on each other, and she lifts her head up in defiance, but he doesn't deliver the ending blow. Instead, his eyes go straight to her throat where she has a scar, and he says in a language that she's never heard, that she's somehow able to translate in her head, you are the one he sent me. You are my wife.
What?
You are my wife.
You are my wife.
You wife now.
Okay, I'm sorry to say it again. Khal Drogo. Literally. Yeah. I'd be like, let me on your horse. Let me get up there with ya.
Just start killing people too.
I'll join you. Welcome.
When she realizes that she's gonna be a wife and not dead, she finally starts running away from him. She says, death? No worries. Wifey? Absolutely not. Goodbye. And she just books it. War catches up to her real fast, and he swoops her up and places her on his horse. He takes her straight to the army camp. War is like super cutesy though. He lifts her down off the horse and he like gently tucks her hair behind her ear. And he tells her that she'll be safe here until he gets back. And all she has to do is swear her loyalty with the others. And then he can call her his wife.
I'd be like, what are we?
He says, we're married. Till death do us part.
Why'd you tuck my hair behind my ear? Why'd you do that?
Are you flirting with me?
You like me.
Instead, again, this girl is like zero survival instincts. She's like, thank you for sparing me, but I am not your wife. And he looks super surprised that she was able to understand him, because he said it again in a language that she has never heard before, but she's able to translate in her head. In the line War dropped her off at, she is like been standing in a line for a while, and she's finally able to like get a view of what's going on. And it's like a big ring with War overseeing it all, as person after person either walks free or is instantly beheaded.
Oh.
So she's close enough to hear death or allegiance, and now she understands that she either must join this army or die. When it's her turn, she's shoved to her knees by the executioner, and he asks her death or allegiance, and she's literally looking at War, thinking like, oh my god, my life is about to hardcore suck. So she says, death.
Oh, she's a bad girl.
She's like, I'm scared of you.
I'd be like, allegiance.
Instantly.
Now fuck me, horseman.
Yeah. Keep me alive.
Ward does not want her dead, though. So he stands up and he's like, no, and stops the execution from happening. Then walks up to her, and in his language, again, that only she can understand, he's basically like, bitch, what the fuck? I spared you once from death, and now you're literally asking for it. And he's hella insulted because he doesn't do mercy ever, probably not once before this, and he did for her.
Yeah, he's looking stupid.
Yes.
He's like, girl,
you made me look bad in front of my army.
She tells him that she would rather die than be forced to kill a bunch of people. And he's like, baby, I don't want to make you a soldier. And you better clean up because you're not dying today, girl. Like, he doesn't care what she has to say. This petite girl named Tamar guides her to her new tent. And inside, there's already someone's personal items, like a romance book. And she's like, whose is this? And Tamar was like, oh, it's the previous girl's. She went out for a ride and never came back. So, like, each person has, like, stuff in their tent of just all the people that have previously died before them.
Jesus.
Free shit.
Some girls brought a bathtub filled with dirty ass bathwater that multiple people have bathed in before her. And they were like, bye, enjoy your bath. And she's like, I hate my life. We finally find out that the FMC's name is Miriam, and she's had a long day. She doesn't even want to go to dinner because even though she's starving, she does not want to come face to face with War. She's woken up in the middle of the night by War at her side telling her to wake up. He started talking to her in her native language, and she's like, wait, so you can talk to everyone else? Why do you talk in your other language if you can speak my language? And also, like, how can I even understand you? And he's like, you're my wife, silly. You understand everything about me.
As if that explains everything.
He's like, girl, you know me, I know you.
Yeah, I don't think I would, like, fight this. I'd be like, yeah.
Makes sense.
Not just checks because out of looks, but just because of, look what's happening. Mm-hmm. If this scary, scary man was like, you're my wife, I'd be like, oh, 100% I am. Sure am.
The next morning, she's eating breakfast, and she's like, what if I just... And just, like, casually gets up and starts walking away. She's like, oh my god, I'm doing it. I'm escaping. Until she gets caught. She's, like, halfway in, like, the woods at this point. And you have to be in the army, or if you try to escape or anything, they'll kill you right away. So this guy has, like, a bow and arrow, and he's like, what are you doing? And she said, she's like, oh, you know War? Well, he said that I could do this. And the guy was like, turn around or I will literally kill you. So she gets back to camp, unfortunately. And later that night, she's called to War's tent for the first time, and she's quaking in her boots because she's like, fuck, I don't want to fuck him. And he's like, I heard about your adventure earlier. Do not ever use me in a lie ever again, or else I will punish you.
You're wrong if you think that angers me. His smile is menacing. Everything you are has been made for me.
Sir.
Hot.
Okay. I saw you, and for the first time I wanted. His words pucker my flesh, and so I took. Pucker my flesh?
Goosebumps. Yeah.
Like a little booty.
Ooh. I'm gonna start using that. Oh my gosh, my flesh is puckering.
It's a couple days later, and when Miriam wakes up, she realizes that everyone is packing up their tents, getting ready to move to the next location. She gets called to War's tent, and she's low-key excited to see him again. When she's inside the tent, he tells her that he has a gift for her. He went back to her apartment and got all of her stuff to make her weapons, and that was, like, super sentimental for her. They're riding now, and it's just her and War on their horses in the front leading the people, and she finally asks him the question that's been on her mind. Why does he think that she's his wife? And he's like, baby, I don't think I know. And she tries telling him if she's his wife, then why do they sleep separately? And then she gets shy about inquiring about the other stuff.
Why don't I fuck you raw and feast on your pussy and keep you chained to my bed like a proper husband?
Yes!
Okay.
Oh. Twist my arm.
She's like, chained to the bed? Who the hell educated you on marriage? Like, that is not how that works.
For you. You are his property. That's how it works.
He asks her about her family, and she tells him that everyone has passed away. Her father from being hit by a bus on the day that he arrived, and her mom and her sister passed escaping War. She also asks him how he gets the people to follow him into battles, and he told her that his job isn't to earn their loyalty, it's to judge their hearts, and soon he will find out the truth of her heart. When she finds out they're going to, like, the ocean, they're traveling towards the coast, she gets hit with major PTSD again when she was with her mom and her sister 7 years ago by the ocean. She was injured and they died. Miriam is severely burnt from riding all day long in the sun, and she really doesn't feel well, so Ward decides to stop for the night. She gets off her horse and she feels like complete shit, and she's like, fuck, like, I have a really bad heat stroke. And War comes up to her and, like, cups her face, seeming worried, but with his touch she starts to feel better. So she's like, oh,
touch me some more.
They're actually sharing a tent tonight, and he makes her bed with a bunch of blankets on top of it, making it as comfortable as possible, and he only gave himself one single blanket. And that is chivalrous.
That is.
She's flirting a little bit, and she's like, where are my chains? And he says he packed them with the rest of the tent stuff, and he gives her, like, a sly smile, and she's like, maybe next time then.
Oh.
She can't decide if she likes him or if she still hates. She always hates his guts, but she's like, there's times where she's like, I'm going to flirt with you.
I mean, yeah. Sounds a little fun.
Khal Drogo, count me in. She asks him what he really wants from her, and he says for her to surrender. And she basically tells him to fuck off, and that's never, ever happening. And he just laughs. He's like, yeah, okay. It's the next day, and they're riding again. And she asks War what happened to Pestilence. And he said that he was defeated, but is still alive. And she's basically like, oh, so you can be stopped. And he tells her his brother failed, but he will not.
He said that dumb bitch fell in love.
He didn't tell her why. She kind of like inquired about it, but he didn't tell her how or why Pestilence got stopped. They stop for the night and he makes her bed hella comfy again, and their beds are closer this time, and she falls asleep and wakes up in his arms. She's like completely nestled into his chest on his bed, which means that she was the one that scooted over to him. She tries untangling herself from him, and he wakes up with a smile on his lips, and he puts his hands on her waist. The next day, she's in her own tent wanting to finally make some weapons when she feels something in her bag that doesn't belong. It's a family photo that War put in there from when he went to her apartment, and she's like full on crying now because she couldn't believe that he would be so sentimental. Later in the day, she's called on by War, and they're talking, and he tells her tomorrow's war, she's to remain at camp because he doesn't want her to get hurt. She's like, what if I want to go? Like, you're my husband, I should be next to you. And she thinks about kissing him to convince him. She wants to go because she has this little plan that she's going to kill off some of his warriors instead of the innocent humans.
I feel like that's a bad idea.
She says, please, Poogie, I should be fighting next to you.
Before I can think twice about it, I wrap my hand around the back of War's neck, my fingers brushing against that dark, wavy hair of his. I was sure it would feel coarse, like the rest of him, but it's soft. So soft. War's eyes widen almost imperceptibly. Standing up on my tiptoes, I press my lips to his. The kiss is over before it's barely begun. I'm not even sure something this brief could be called a kiss. Nonetheless, the horseman looks thunderstruck from it. Thunderstruck and hungry.
Yeah, he is.
She tells him that he'll get another one if he agrees to let her fight tomorrow, and he's like, oh, you're trouble. He tells her in his native angelic language that God's hand protects her, but his cannot. And she was like literally tingling and like weak in the knees from hearing that language. She was like, and got like goosebumps. Her skin puckered.
Oh.
He agrees to let her fight tomorrow and then grabs her face and kisses her. It's hot, it's steamy, it's passionate, and she kisses him right back.
War parts my lips with his own, and suddenly his tongue is pressing against mine. His body feels like sin, but he tastes like heaven. Go for it. Snaps all around.
Their kiss breaks and he's about to go in for another kiss when she tells him that she can't. And when he's like, why? She tells him that it's going to break her heart tomorrow when he rides out for war. It's the next day and War is on his horse, Deimos, and rides up to her, telling her to be safe and that they'll meet again on the battlefield. There's so much death and destruction, and Miriam finds a mother with two kids in the street. She gives them her horse and she's like, go and do not stop until you're as far away from the coast as possible. She finds a dead man on the street with a bow and arrow, and she takes them and gets to a higher ground, and then she starts killing War's worst offenders. She gets back on the street in time to see War get shot and fall off of his horse and like lays face down on the ground. But then he gets up and walks towards the woman with the gun, all while getting shot multiple other times, and it's not fazing him at all. The woman is out of bullets and she knows that he's about to kill her, but Miriam throws herself in front of the woman and tells War that she won't let him kill her. He's like, she literally just tried killing me. I'm not sparing her. And Miriam said that the woman is brave and could be useful in camp. And he tells her for the sake of her soft heart, he will let her live for now. When the woman is being taken away to camp, War cups the back of her head, then kisses her passionately. It's hot and heavy, and for a moment in time, the war around them disappears. The invasion is over, and they all head back to the top of the hill overlooking the ruined city, and everyone is looking at War, and Miriam is like, what the fuck is going on? What are they waiting for? Then he like hella dramatically lifts his hands in the air, and there's like a mini earthquake. Then the ground literally like slices open, and she sees a desiccated hand rise from the earth, and she's like, holy fuck, he can raise the dead.
What the fuck?
Plot
twist. Yeah.
Not just one, but dozens of undead. They're all heading towards the town, and he's having the dead kill the last of the living.
Jesus.
She tries pleading with him to stop, and he straight up ignores her, and she's forced to watch the zombies kill every single person in town until there's no one left. And after everything is done, he walks over to Miriam, and he's like, wife. And she looks him dead in the eyes, because she's a boss bitch. And she tells him how much she absolutely hates him. And for once, he looks a little affected by her words. But instead of going with War back to camp, she just like jogs into the city, deciding now is the time to try and run away. Again.
Again, yeah.
She's a runner.
She's a track star. Wow.
Beautiful.
She starts looking for a bike and then literally gets attacked by a zombie. And she gets away from the first one and then is attacked again by another zombie. But this one's like on steroids. And she was like, he's going to kill me. But just when she couldn't fight any longer, War saves her. And she's in his arms and is yelling and crying and pushing at him. And she's like, why are you doing this? Why do you have to kill everyone? And then he just like pulls her into a hug. And she's just like sobbing in his arms.
He's like, they're there. Yeah.
And the best part is he's literally like, so they're on his horse going back to camp, and he's like, Pookie, what did I do wrong? And she's like, literally everything. Like, you're causing war, you're raising zombies,
you're killing everyone.
He tells her that human hearts can be fixed, and she's like, can yours? And he asks if that would make her hate him less, because he's keeping her no matter what. But he's like, maybe I can change, I don't want to, but like, if that means a lot, maybe.
He said, maybe some self-improvement. I don't know.
When she gets back to her tent, she sees the girls around the woman that she got war to spare earlier. And they made introductions. And the girl, her name is Zara. Miriam gives her like the rundown of what to expect, how the camp works. And Zara is like, what happens if I don't do these things or if I don't want to? And she's like, you'll probably die.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'll definitely die.
For sure. She falls asleep in her tent and is woken up by something. And she grabs a dagger that was right next to her. And she listens intensely and hears the whispering voices of men that definitely should not be in this section of the camps. She makes herself like an emergency exit by cutting the back of her tent open. And just as she is trying to exit, she hears the men in her tent. And one of them grabs her ankle, dragging her back in. She's screaming at the top of her lungs, trying to get anyone to wake up and help her. And they rip her clothes off. And she ends up stabbing one in the throat, killing him. But that just like really fucking pisses them off. And now they're beating the living shit out of her, like to the brink of death.
Where's war?
Oh, he's coming. I'm so glad you asked. War enters her tent. And even though she's like beyond broken, she can't see anything. Her eyes are completely swollen shut. All of the voices in the tent like slowly die out. And then he scoops her up and vows to her that they will pay.
Yeah, they will.
She wakes up to excruciating pain everywhere. And War is touching her and assessing her injuries. But she tries to fight him off because she doesn't want him to touch her because everything hurts so bad. And then she ends up passing out from pain. She finally wakes again. And War is next to her, gently stroking her. And she asks how bad her injuries are, and he tells her they were significant. He said that he's used to breaking things, not putting them back together. And last night, every single thing on her was broken. So he said that the attackers have been tortured and they're awaiting their judgment. This time, she's so grateful that War saved her life, because all the other times before, she was like, I really wanted to die. But this time, she wanted to live.
Yeah.
And then she's thinking, like, he saved my life. Like, he's kind of sexy.
It's like the sexiest thing a man can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Be a strong man.
He tells her that she is staying with him from now on, and then picks her up and lays her down and puts his hands on her injuries, and he begins healing her. And she's like, oh, wait, you can raise the dead and heal the injured? And he tells her that he can do the opposite of his powers, just like his brothers. So he can injure and he can heal, just like pestilence can spread sickness and cure it. The next day, she wakes up to a note from War telling her to enjoy her bath, and he got her a new set of clothes and breakfast, and she's like, wants to cry because he's being so kind. She's like really torn at this point, because she's like, how can this man be so kind at times and then literally kill off the entire human race?
He's just doing his job.
He's complex.
He just has a mission.
Yeah. He wants to be your husband.
She's in the bath and War walks in, and there's definitely some sexual tension because she's naked. And he's in his battle armor, and she's like, shouldn't you be out raiding? And he told her that he was anxious to be away from her, and then starts taking off all of his armor and then his shirt. She's drinking in the sight of him because he is fine. She makes him close his eyes as she gets out of the bath, and she's like dressing herself, and she's actually surprised that he didn't peek the entire time. She's like, who would have thought out of everyone that he would be the one to like be respectful? But what really shocks her is he gets butt ass naked in front of her and then just jumps in the bath when she's out. He's like letting her see it all, and he is hung, and she's like, that could literally never fit inside of me.
I bet it can.
He's just using her dirty bath water.
I know, that's what I was just about to say. He just gets in her nasty bath water,
and she thought that it was like hot. She's like, why am I so turned on?
No. Swimming in your juices.
Ugh. Yummy. It's me soup.
She gets freaked out, and she's like, I should go to my tent. He's like, no, babes, this is your tent now. And you should have always been with me. She was like, no, she was not having it. But he told her that he was just trying to please her when she wanted her own tent. But then she got attacked. So like reasonably, she was going to stay with him. But she decided that she would stay in his tent until she's healed. And then she would peace out. She's making bow and arrows. And War asked her how she came to learn about this. And she told him that her mom was a history professor who had books on ancient weaponry. And she basically taught herself from the books. He's like, you're dangerous and curious, and I like it.
The next morning, War wakes her up to face her attacker's judgment. And once they're outside, there's already a crowd surrounding the three men who attacked her. She recognizes one of them from her first day there. And one of the other riders brings her a sword. So he has his like army or whatever, but he has, I think how you say is Phobos. The Phobos riders are like his closest.
It's like the highest rank in his army.
Oh, okay.
So one of the other Phobos riders brings her a sword. And she's like, I'm not gonna do this. And War's like, I will then. So one of the men, as War walks up, tries to say that Miriam asked for it. And War's like, no. And just stabs each one until they're all dead.
Jesus.
He tells the whole entire camp that if anyone touches another woman dishonestly, they're going to suffer the same fate. And then they all pack up to move, and she mounts a new horse to ride at the front with him again. As they travel, she randomly asks why he hasn't been with anyone since meeting her. And he's like, because I'm committed to my wife.
We are married.
He's like, I don't know why you're not understanding.
They make some more small talk, and she eventually asks about his brothers and when the other two will arrive. And all he says is that they will arrive when he passes his final judgment. Like, super ominous, no further explanation, just when I pass my judgment, they'll arrive. They continue city after city. They're all destroyed, and she demands to know how he's reached so far. And he's like, I couldn't leave you when you're healing, so I literally sent the zombie armies to do the work. After he admits that he sent the armies of the dead to finish the cities while she was healing, she doesn't speak to him for hours. She's like, I'm not going to talk to you anymore. When they stop for the night, he finally asks why she's mad at him. And she's like, I'm more mad at myself thinking that you could be changed. He asks if he changed, would it make her less ashamed of the fact that she's his wife? And she's like, I am not your wife. Later, she asks who he was before all of this. And he says that he's been around for a long time, and he exists solely in the hearts of men. She finds herself moving closer to him and slides her hands up his arm and leans forward. She wants to know what it would be like to be with him, but stops herself and says that she should probably just go to bed. He begs her not to leave and just to lay with him and tell him something beautiful. So she tells him about her parents' love story and then falls asleep. They wake up snuggled together, and he finally works up the courage to ask about the scar on her neck, and she says it was from an accident and has others to match in various places on her body. This makes him look her up and down, try to see the scars through her clothes, and she closes a distance to kiss him because she's like, you're checking me out.
He rolls us over so that I'm on my back and he's above me, pinning me to the ground. Shamelessly, I grind against him, biting back a moan. She wants him.
He cups one of her breasts and she moans, but they have to break apart as Deimos approaches and they see his whole army cresting the hill. So remember, they travel first ahead for a little bit and then the army catches up to them. So they had their one night together and then everyone's there now.
Cock blocks.
Honestly.
He is having a meeting with his Phobos riders, but when he sees that she comes into the tent, he sends everyone away. She tells him that she has a proposition for him and lightly touches his chest and lets him know that he can have this marriage and so much more if he quits raising the dead. He does not agree with this at all, and she's like, oh, okay, I'm just gonna leave then. This is embarrassing. But he says that they can bargain. He tells her that they can camp longer between the cities to buy people extra time, and he won't burn the aviaries down. So he's been burning all of those down so messages couldn't get to other cities. So he says he'll stop doing that. And she says, okay, I agree to your terms.
Now come to me, he says. His voice has gone rougher, deeper. Show me what I've bought myself.
Show him.
She walks back to him and he lightly touches her cheek, saying that he's been imagining this, and he begs for her to touch him. He sits down on a chair and beckons her over. He lifts her shirt up and she kisses him, crawling onto his lap.
I want to see your pretty breasts, he says, his voice gravelly.
Show me your boobs. Show boobs.
He takes her bra off and grabs her breasts.
Her breasts.
She is hella soaked, and he lifts her, taking one of her nipples into his mouth. She moans and asks what he wants her to do, and he tells her to just touch him wherever it pleases her. She runs her hands up his body, and he lifts her, carrying her to the pallet, where he finishes undressing her and then starts to undress himself.
His cock is enormous, big enough to intimidate me and big enough to hurt if we're not careful.
So he has a snake in his pants.
Imagine if he didn't, though.
If it was just a little peeper.
Yeah. But he's just like this big burly man.
You can't, God gave me all this. He can't give me a big peepee too.
He lays on top of her and fits his hips perfectly between her thighs and starts kissing her. She tries to continue it further, but he tells her no. He won't do this until she surrenders more than her body. He needs all of her.
For several seconds, the only sound in the room is my shallow breath. So we're not having sex? Please, take my vagina. She wants you. War's eyes gleam. He grabs my knees and spreads my thighs, exposing my most intimate parts. Well now, that depends on your definition of sex. And then he descends on me.
Put your dick in her.
My vagina wants you. She wants you. It's like, hi, how are you?
I want you.
He starts to eat her out and she begs him to stop, but he tells her that he hasn't even gotten to the best part. And then he sucks on her clit and inserts a finger. Her orgasm comes immediately and he kisses back up her body, pulling her into cuddle. She thinks he might go back on his word if she doesn't reciprocate, so she grabs his dick and then goes to kneel between his thighs. As she sucks his dick, she's never done this before either, so she's like winging it. He admits that he's never felt a sensation like this.
Your mouth against me. It's the most exquisite pain, wife. I'm happy he thinks that because, my God, this man's dick is going to break my jaw.
That's a big old dick.
Yeah.
She's getting lockjaw like the whole time.
Just, She's just trying her best.
He gives no warning before he comes in her mouth and she swallows him, even though she isn't sure that's what you're supposed to do. Because again, she's never done this before. They lay together for a little bit and she feels guilty for wanting him, but also for hating him. She goes to leave and he tells her no and then starts to kiss down her torso one more time. She wakes up the next morning and they are cuddled together and he's still asleep. So she sneaks out of the tent and goes to her previous tent, even though it's not technically hers anymore. And Zara comes in begging to join them to go ride into the city tomorrow so she can find her sister. So I guess the city that they're going to, Zara's sister, brother-in-law, and nephew live there. A Phobos rider approaches and says that Miriam's being summoned. So when she gets back to the tent, she tries to plead with him again to please stop. And he says, why would I do that? She asks him, okay, then can I have a bow and some arrows for tomorrow? And he tells her yes, but the talk of battle is not why he summoned her. And then he kisses her and lifts her onto the table to undress her. Hours later, they're tangled together and they talk about past lovers or lack thereof for herself. She's only slept with one person and kind of messed around with a couple other people, so she doesn't have much experience, but she does get jealous when he tells her that he has slept with a lot of people.
He's like, I be fucking.
Oh, he do be.
Does it say a number?
He says like uncountable amount of people.
He says every town I go to, baby.
Yeah, because like when he's in the camps or whatever, there's just women throwing themselves at him. And he's like, all right.
He said, fuck him, kill him. Fuck him, kill him.
He tells her that none of those people were his wife and he prefers her over everyone else. And they still haven't had sex. So, I mean, that's saying something.
Yeah.
I would hate hearing all of this.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
She meets Zara the next morning before the sun rises with the plan for when they head out to battle. Zara is to take Miriam's horse and ride at the front with the host, and she's going to travel with the foot soldiers. When she finds her sister, they have 10 minutes to pack and get out the door. She gets the horse to Zara, and just as she blends in with the other riders, she's summoned to go to War's side. War kisses Miriam and says not to be too meddlesome and to stay safe. Once she's in the city, she sees the aviary isn't on fire like all the buildings surrounding it, just like he promised. She continues through the city, and just like the other battle, she kills people who are attacking the innocents. It takes her a while to get to the meeting spot with Zara, and as she gets there, she spots Zara cradling a small boy to her chest with an arrow embedded into him.
Oh.
Zara tells Miriam she was too late and that they're all dead. So Miriam starts yelling for War and goes and takes off sprinting to find him. When she finds him, she begs for him to come help. But when he follows and sees that Zara's holding the boy, he's pissed that Miriam took him away from battle to do this. She begs him to save the boy, and he's like, I don't want to do this. And she's like, this is how you get me to love you and how you get me to surrender to you. So he saves the boy, and when he's finished, he turns to Miriam and says, do not ask this again, because it will never happen again. And then he's back off. Miriam steals a horse to get Zara back to camp with her nephew, but the horse she stole is apparently a Phobos rider's, and as he comes to look for it, he sees Miriam shoot away with Zara and her nephew on there. He tries to attack her over it, and she shoots him with an arrow, and as she watches the man fall to his knees, a sword gets pressed to her back, and the person says that he can't wait to tell the warlord about her crimes. She's taken into custody and lined up with the other traitors for judgment, and as War's eyes land on her, his face hardens and he demands that she be released. They try to explain why she's in line to begin with, and he's like, don't care, get her out of the line. And now all the other riders are demanding to know why he's sparing a whore.
Kill them all.
He does stab the man who calls her a whore and then scoops her up to go to their tent. When he sets her down, he tells her that she can't attack his army and he's no longer going to be lenient with her. She thanks him for saving the boy and starts to touch him, but he only returns her affection once she kisses him. They undress and she pulls him to the floor.
War's cock is hot and hard against me, and I can sense that battle-hungry buzz still burning through his system. For an instant, War's hips press forward, and oh my god, this is going to happen. But then he groans and pulls away from me, his entire body trembling with his restraint. Why?
Just fuck.
Because she won't be like, yeah, I'm your wife.
Yeah. She needs to surrender. So they do their little foreplay action that they keep doing, and later on she checks on Zara, and seeing that her and her nephew are okay, she's like, okay, cool, like, you guys are good, I'm gonna go make some weapons until War needs me again. But a Phobos rider who walks with her warns her to watch her back.
Oh, fuck off.
She's summoned again, and when she gets to their tent, it's dark and empty, and she realizes that it might be another setup and someone's gonna attack her, but War stumbles in drunk and starts pawing at her. He asks for her to lay with him, and she knows it can't be a good idea with how drunk he is, so she just says, sleep it off, I'm gonna leave. The next day, War takes Deimos into the desert with Miriam, and she's like, what are we doing?
I want to hear what you sound like when no one but me is listening.
Oh. I highlighted that on my Kindle. I was like, yep.
Save that for later.
He puts her on the ground, undresses her, eats her out, and then he admits that he likes their alone moments because she's more open with him and not as reserved. After they lay there for a minute, they get into a little spat regarding their bargain because she sees one of his zombies patrolling the area, and she's like, part of the bargain was you don't raise the dead anymore. So she's like, fuck you, you didn't listen to me. She gets dressed and she leaves, and she starts booking it because she's like, I don't want to be anywhere near you. And the zombie chases her.
No.
Hell
no. Tackles her to the ground.
Ugh.
I wanted to throw up. I was like, I would shit my pants.
There's something about zombies. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
I would be so pissed, especially because like he like can order them to do whatever. So he's like, yeah, tackle her. Like, yeah. I would be so pissed.
The zombie brings her back to War, and he demands that she come back with him to their tent. And she's like, no, fuck you. So he's like, enjoy your walk back with your company. So he makes her walk the whole way back with the fucking zombie. She is so pissed off at him that she does not see him for days after that. And again, she's more pissed off at all her emotions that she feels towards him. And this is when I was like, make up your fucking mind. I'm done. I'm done with it.
Yeah, honestly.
I can't stand it anymore.
Shelby's like, had it up to here.
Yeah. The true enemies to lover, though. Like, they are enemies, and she, like, wants to like him, but she can't because he's killing all of the human race.
It doesn't need to be so many pages of it, though.
She can't decide.
You can't kiss him and like to suck his dick and then say you don't like him the next minute.
His poor feelings.
He's literally War, and you're like, his feelings.
when she does see War again, it's to travel to a new location. They make a fire and cook food before he commands her to bed with him. She follows him, because why wouldn't she? Even though she hates him. And they kiss as he trails his hands down her body. After they exhaust themselves, he asks to know a bit more about Miriam, what she loves, her favorite things, etc. She tells him everything about herself and her family, and then she starts to finally explain the accident as he gently touches the scar on her neck. The accident was her mom, her sister, and herself trying to flee their town when war broke out, and they're on a boat, and it's when all the engines stopped working, so the engine on the boat just like combusted and blew everything up. He tells her he's sorry about the accident, but her misfortune is his gain because the day she gained the scar was the day that she became his. They continue their journey through towns that have all been visited by the dead until they stop where all the tents will be set up. Later that day, her tent is never set up and all of her things are completely missing. So now she's like, what the fuck? Like, I thought I got my own space again. He says, nope, not anymore. She wakes up that morning to him trailing kisses, and just as her will is about to break, he stops and tells her to get ready. She asks why she's still allowed to go to battle, even though she causes so much trouble, and he says, because technically, when she goes, she's helping his cause, and she's like, what do you mean? And he says, every person that you kill, no matter what side they're on, is my end goal. So you're helping me. And she's like, didn't think about it like that. Okay.
He said, I bet you feel silly.
Idiot.
She does.
The town that they arrive in is different, though, because when they get there, they meet an actual military battalion. The military battalion does not stand a chance against War's army. She manages to escape War in the fray and runs to the aviary to send out a warning. Only when she arrives, she finds two people and she quickly tells them what to write. So she's like, this is my chance. There's birds still here. We need to get messages out to cities now. Just as one message is tied to a bird, a soldier comes in to kill the man and his wife. Miriam ends up killing the soldier and then slams the door, trying to write more messages and tie them to birds. She's like, I'm pretty sure today's the day I'm gonna die, so need to hurry up. I wonder if War is gonna miss me at all. As she finishes and ties them to pigeons, a new Phobos rider bursts in. It's the one who caught her spying and killing the other rider, and he grabs her by the hair, dragging her outside. He lets her go and tries to hit her, but misses. She pulls out her dagger and just books it down the street. He takes off after her, and she runs into a burning building trying to lose him. He doesn't let up, and as they run through a hallway engulfed in flames, she feels his sword nick the back of her neck. So he missed her barely from a beheading.
This girl is so lucky.
She trips, and just as the Phobos rider is about to bring his sword up, she rolls out of the way and kicks his wrist. The sword clatters to the ground, and she plunges her dagger into his neck. She takes off running without seeing if he's alive, and the ceiling collapses and barricades her in. She's like, okay, I'm gonna die here. No one's gonna know where I am because I'm gonna be burnt to a literal fucking crisp. Mm-hmm. And then Deimos bursts in and War jumps off him, rushing to help her. She faints, and when she comes back to, they're bursting out of the burning building while he's healing her and getting them away from the city. When they arrive back at camp, they go straight to their tent, and then he sets her down and undresses her to heal her burns. She asks what they're doing, and he says she almost died and he didn't arrive in time, but he stops himself because he's clearly visibly shaken, thinking that she could have died. She falls asleep and wakes up sometime later to his touch trailing down her body. She turns to him and cradles his cheek, and he asks what happened, and she recaps the events of the day. She begs him to touch her, and he tells her no because she's still healing.
War leans in close. It is taking everything in me not to peel off my pants and fuck that sweet pussy of yours, wife. Everything. Just do it.
Do it.
She's like, okay, you're right. I'm still healing. So he carries her to the bath and washes her, and as he cleans her off, he tells her she won't be going to any more battles because he can't stand the thought of losing her. A soldier bursts in saying that they're ready for the dead to finish the town, and she begs him to not do it tonight. So he says, okay. So the dead never get raised.
That's like a huge deal too.
Yeah, a really big deal.
What a gentleman.
She finishes bathing and steps out. He kneels and kisses her stomach, and then he starts to kiss her breasts as she arches into him wanting more. She whispers the words he's been waiting for. I surrender. He smiles at her and they kiss as he teases her with his fingers. She begs for him to be inside of her and he picks her up and takes her to their bed, and then he undresses and lays over her.
With one slow stroke of his hips, I feel war begin to enter. He hisses as he meets resistance. Relax, wife. We were meant to fit together. Only a woman with a vagina as big as a crater was meant to fit war's cock. That's a big dick.
She relaxes as he pushes her legs wider to thrust into her. He pauses to let her adjust and tells her that she feels incredible. As he starts to fuck her, he just says wife over and over again as his tempo increases. She knows that this is not just sex anymore, and then she comes and he comes right after her.
Wife, 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 wife.
They spend the rest of the day and night making love, and by the morning time, Miriam is like, I gotta go before I get roped into more sex. As soon as she opens the tent, she sees that the whole place is surrounded by armed undead guards. War comes up behind her and she's like, what is this? And he tells her that his own men can't be trusted to protect her, so he's using the undead to watch over her instead. She looks into his eyes and sees the true fear of losing her on his face and realizes that despite knowing what he is, she cares for him. War extends the stay at this camp so they can hang out and bang longer, and he's no longer raising the dead after raiding the surrounding cities.
Also, she describes how disgusting it smells, because of course the zombies smell like dead things.
Oh yeah, I didn't even think about that.
They're just corpses.
Just smelling like straight shit.
Yeah. They make their way to the next city and he still rides into battle as fiercely as ever, but at night they stay up making love. They're about to raid the city of Mansoura, and she tries to stop him, telling him he doesn't need to do this, and he tells her for her, he nearly would. As he leaves, she tells herself that even though she told War she'd surrendered, she had lied. She's not gonna give up trying to stop him. That night, she has a night terror about the night her mom died. War wakes her up, and she's crying, and she's all sweaty, and he asks her what she was dreaming about, and she tells him about the accident 7 years ago in Jerusalem, and how her boat blew up, and that she doesn't know how she survived. She just remembers waking up on a fishing boat and her whole family was gone. But she doesn't know if they're dead or not. She just knows that she woke up alone. He vows to her that if her family is alive, they will find them. She thanks him and kisses him and then really shows him how much she appreciates it. After they're done, she goes to visit Zara but is followed by her undead security. She goes into Zara's tent without any of the zombies, thankfully, and she sees Mamoon, and Mamoon is the little toddler boy.
Okay.
He's not coping well and seems to be pretty shut down. Zara asks where Miriam has been for the past week, and Miriam is like, I've been fucking War.
Do you want the tea?
Zara says that even though she hates War for what he's done, she's seen the good he can do, so she understands why Miriam is doing what she's doing. She tells Miriam she missed her and would never judge her, so not to avoid her anymore. So she's like a really good friend.
Yeah, honestly. Because I feel like I would be like, oh, you're fucking the guy that just killed my fucking sister and brother.
Yeah.
And everyone else. I know, she's like, I get it. Get dick down.
Get that dick, girl. They sit and talk for a few hours and then leave the tent to go sit with the rest of the women in the camp. While she's chatting with the women, she has this brain blast and she gets an idea.
Brain blast!
She sneaks out that night and finds Deimos and mounts him, riding him out of camp and ditching her zombie guards. So they're like still following her, but Deimos is really fast, so she's like, yeehaw, and leaves her zombies
and
behind.
And their zombies are like,
yeah. She rides all the way to the city that they're about to invade and warns them that war is coming and they need to evacuate the city. As she's riding down the street screaming her warnings, she hears a horse clopping next to her and a deep voice that says, that was bold and reckless.
Oh my god. I would shit.
And it's War.
I would shit my bridges.
And he said no more shenanigans.
He did
she
say
even
that, yeah.
said I surrender. And he fucked her.
Yeah. And she was like, I lied.
Gotcha.
Tee-hee.
Got that dick.
He says he saved the boy. He offered to find her family. He hasn't been burning the aviaries. And this is how she repays him. He lifts his arm up and she begs him not to do this. But the ground begins to shudder and the undead rise. She's begging him to stop, but he won't. She gets off of Deimos and stalks walks toward his horse, spooking it, and War falls off right on top of her. She begs him again to find his compassion and stop this, as the civilians of the city are screaming. He says he'll never stop. As she looks around, she sees the dead slaying the living. Then, the newly dead rise and begin killing their husbands, wives, children, and friends.
Holy fuck.
Terrifying.
Yeah.
The trauma.
Like a nightmare.
Mm-hmm. Like, there's little kids that are like, Mommy, help me. And then the mommy's like,
kill, kill, kill. Oh, no.
Miriam stands up and begins shooting the dead with her arrows, but it's not helping because, like, they can't die. War stalks toward her and she grabs her dagger and holds it to her own throat, demanding that he stop this. He calls her bluff, but she digs the blade into her skin and blood starts running down her chest. He doesn't stop and tries to grab the knife, but she won't let go and tells him to just kill her like he did for everyone else. He gets the dagger away from her and hoists her up onto Deimos. She's screaming at him that he's a hypocrite for only defying God's will when it comes to her and calls him a weak-willed monster. On the ride home, War keeps trying to touch her to heal her cut, but she just keeps hitting his hand away and tells him she'll never stop trying to warn the people that he's coming. They get to the tent and he looks at her tenderly and says if she were anyone else, he would have killed her for what she did. And she says, do it then, kill me. And he says he can't. He'd rather cut off his own hand than hurt her. And she says, do it then, cut off your hand.
She's like, show me. Cut it off.
She refuses to sleep with him that night, but War has his zombie soldiers literally carry her into his tent. That would make me more mad.
I would be so pissed.
Yeah. Yeah. She tells him how much she hates him and asks why he wants them all to die. He says he doesn't, but maybe she needs to think of all the non-human creatures her people have wiped out over the years, and says that he cannot change his task. She says, even if your wife asks you to, and he pauses for a moment at her, referring to herself as his wife, but ultimately refuses. He gets a bath ready for her and she gets in, completely pretending like he doesn't exist, so he just gets up and walks out of the tent. When she gets out, she gets drunk on his liquor and goes to bed alone. She wakes up to War coming to bed sometime during the night, and he wraps his arm around her, but she freezes because she doesn't want this right now. As she tries to squirm away from him, he tells her he doesn't like the distance forming between them, but she doesn't answer. Morning comes, and War leaves with his army to go raid the empty city. That night, everyone is celebrating, and Miriam walks up to War, who is sitting on his dais. He kisses her in front of everyone, and she asks if he loves her, and says if he does, then stop the killing. And he says no.
He said, not gonna.
No, we've gone over this roughly 100,000 times.
Yeah, oh my God.
I love you, Pookie, but I love death more.
I love to kill. She storms off and goes to their tent, and War follows right behind her asking what the hell that was, because she did this in front of everybody.
Yeah.
She says he wants to be with her but won't make any sacrifices, and he says he doesn't make sacrifices. She pushes his chest and he tells her how much fire she has for such a defeated human, and then he kisses her passionately.
A defeated human?
Yeah, because he's like, you're not winning this, but like, love that you're still trying.
I am not defeated yet. Look at me still trying.
Then he kisses her passionately. He tosses her on the bed and throws her legs open. Despite her anger, she lets him do what he wants to, and they have angry sex. She waits until he's asleep and sneaks out of bed, grabbing some rope and War's sword. As she stalks toward him, she kicks over a basin of water, waking him up, and he sees her with the sword and is like, what are you doing? All confused.
What is she doing?
She says the raiding and killing ends tonight, and he's like, is that a threat? And she says, yes. He just smiles and is like, what are you gonna do, kill me? She holds the blade to his throat and tells him to surrender like he asked of her, and he says no. She swings the blade, aiming for his throat, and he grabs it with his bare hands.
Blech.
Yeah. And it slices the shit out of his palms. And then his eyes get really sad, and he's like, you'd really hurt me with my own blade?
Oh, my wife. Leave that man alone.
She tells him that he deserves it, and he's like, you kiss me and fuck me and also think I deserve to die? And she says, yes, you deserve way worse than death. She demands he surrender again, and he tells her to drop the sword, but she just repeats herself. He yanks the sword from her hands, and now she doesn't have a plan. And now War is pissed and is walking toward her and tells her it's too late to run. He grabs her and tells her to truly surrender to him now, but she says no.
Oh my God.
They're like a little bit incompatible.
See, yeah. Too wishy-washy.
He grabs her throat and runs his fingers along her scar and tells her that this is the angelic symbol for surrender. She was brought back to life life and marked just as he was. And as she analyzes him, she sees one of the markings on his body is identical to her scar. And he tells her that her purpose is marked on her flesh just like him, but she just shakes her head.
Oh.
Yeah, so remember how Mercy was like shining on the tent in Pestilence?
Mm-hmm.
This is like the same thing where her scar says surrender.
Wow.
Yeah, they're destined.
War leaves and doesn't return. She sits in the tent until the afternoon when the zombie guard brings her to the center of camp where War sits on his dais. He's speaking his angelic language and tells her that she discovered his one weakness before he had. He cannot punish her, but he can punish others in her place. The ground shakes and the undead rise and he starts killing off his own army. She begs him to stop and he's like, you've literally been killing them too, so like, why do you care?
He's like, what do you want?
The camp falls silent as the zombies finish their killing and then she hears a small cry, then another. Zara and Mamoon lead a pack of people who were spared and War whispers in her ear, for your soft heart. He saved everyone that he deemed morally innocent.
Oh.
I think one of his powers is like looking at people and he can tell if they're like morally good or less good.
Okay.
He has a lot of powers.
He does.
She moves out of War's tent and next to Zara and they continue their travels, but instead of riding to battle, the undead do all the fighting because now he doesn't really have an army.
Yeah.
He just has like a bunch of women and children.
Yeah.
Things go on like this for some time, weeks or maybe a month, and her and War are not speaking, which like you should probably forgive him at this point.
Yeah. But like, honestly, you're not getting away from him. So like,
no, just accept your fucking fate.
Yes.
You have no family. Your one friend is alive with you, so who cares?
You have tried to get rid of him or escape him countless times. It doesn't work. Give up.
Be a wife.
Give him the puss.
Yeah. Suddenly, she starts to feel ill. She doesn't feel any better that day or the next day, and then one night, War enters her tent. He tells her he's missed her and is like, whoa, you look terrible. She tells him she missed him too, but she's still angry with him. He leans down and kisses her, then picks her up, saying he's taking her home. She moves back in with him, and then the appetite hits. War is worried and wants to get a doctor involved, but Miriam refuses. That night, he comes back after battle and she wants him bad. She shoves him down on the pallet and kisses him. Things get hot and heavy and he's looking at her like he loves her.
I can feel myself building, building, building. War, I come then, staring into his face, my lips parting in surprise as my orgasm crashes through me. I see his own expression sharpen as his cock thickens inside me an instant later. And then he's coming on the wings of my own climax, the two of us locked in this strange synchrony. Our orgasms seem to last an eternity, the two of us staring at each other as we ride them out. This is something new, something more than cut and dry sex. I can't deny it, even if it startles me. I made love to the horseman. It's thrilling and terrifying all at once.
That's her man. That's her man.
That's her husband.
Yeah, it is.
She wakes the next morning feeling like she's gonna hurl, so she does. And then she starts thinking and she's like, I think I'm late. And now she's panicking. And then she starts hysterically laughing because what the fuck? War finds her and she considers telling him, but she doesn't know if he'll ultimately kill their child, so she decides to keep it a secret. That night, she decides to run. She makes it out of camp and books it as an undead soldier chases after her. She makes it to the nearest town, but War catches up to her on Deimos, asking what the heck she's doing. She says she's running from him, and he's like, do you hate me that much? And he's like really sad.
Yeah, he's just like heartbroken.
He's begging her to please just come back to him, so she goes to him, and he holds her, confessing his love for her, and says he can't do this anymore. He'll change for her. So she drops the bomb. She's carrying his child.
The horseman's eyes widen, and his grip on me tightens just a fraction. Truly? He asks, his eyes searching mine. Hope this wasn't a mistake. I nod, sucking in my lower lip. Yeah, you knocked me up real good.
Okay.
War is stoked. He is over the moon, ecstatic. And he's like, you don't need to fear me. I'd never hurt you or our child. He tells her he surrenders, and she tells him she is his now and forever. They continue their journey the next day, but War stops attacking the satellite cities, so like the smaller cities surrounding the big cities, and he even leaves a few survivors in the larger towns. So like, he said he surrendered, but he's still killing like a lot of people.
But he's changing.
Yeah, he's still changing.
She could fix him.
They will rebuild.
Then, as they travel, they begin getting attacked because they're leaving survivors. Miriam is shot with an arrow through her shoulder, and War retreats. He's never retreated before. He heals her and uses the undead to take out the attackers, and she finally apologizes for trying to kill him, and he says all is forgiven. Then the undead start attacking the cities before they arrive, so when they get there, it's already done, and Miriam doesn't have to see any of it. They're attacked by survivors, and Miriam is happy because that means people are being spared. The next city, War brings every single child back to camp completely spared and tells Zara she has more children to tend to, and he's not making them declare loyalty to him at all. Like, he's just like, you live with us now.
I would be so pissed if I was Zara. I'd be like, I already have one child to take care of while I am homeless traveling and you're gonna give me all of these ones?
He's like, you wanted that one. Don't you want the rest?
More.
He tells Miriam he couldn't kill them knowing one of them could have been his, and he's changing. He continues doing this until there are too many children, so he starts saving adults and bringing them back to camp. They're the ones he deemed to be pure of heart. They continue writing, and now he's saving the children, the innocents, and the elderly. After one particular raid, he gets on one knee and asks Miriam to be his wife, and she says yes. So he finally stopped being like, you are my wife. And he's like, will you be my wife?
Oh.
If you say no, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You're still my wife.
She wants to tell him she loves him, but she doesn't. The next morning, he says he's dismantling camp. He takes what's remaining of his riders and Miriam and leaves behind all the civilians. Everyone is free for her soft heart.
Just in the middle of nowhere, he's like, good luck.
Be free.
Yeah.
They're all like, what the fuck?
He releases the undead as well, finally letting them rest in peace. She exchanges a tearful goodbye with Zara the next morning. Zara says she's like a sister and asks her to keep in touch. Maybe they'll see each other again. That night, the camp is way more quiet than normal, and War is having turmoil about the difference between good and evil and tells Miriam he's judged his own heart and doesn't know if he can judge others as well since his has been found wanting. That night in bed, he tells Miriam he's done. He wants to end it all and asks if she thinks he can be redeemed, and she says yes. He's already been redeeming himself. He says if he can be redeemed, so can all of mankind, and he's done with the killing. The Phobos riders are pissed when they find out, and they plan this secret ambush on War. So they're like, we did all this shit for War, and now he's gonna kill us because he's not gonna deem us morally pure. So, like, what the fuck did we do all this for? So they're, I feel like, understandably pissed.
Yeah.
Miriam finds the tactical map for their plan while they're luring War out of the city under the guise of the camp being under attack. She arms herself and goes out to save her man.
Do it.
That's your boo. As she's running toward where the map says they'll be, she feels the ground move and the undead rise, marching toward where War is. Then she hears a couple loud booms. She has a run-in with one of the riders who tells her if she comes quietly, he'll give her a quick death. If not, he'll bring her back to the other men and they'll all take turns on her. So naturally, she shoots him in the throat and she goes through his bag and finds War's head.
Plot twist.
And now she wants revenge.
I was gonna say, if you say the end, I swear to fucking God.
No. She slaughters all of the riders she comes across until she gets to this guy called Hussein, which is the only Phobos rider that has ever been slightly kind towards her. And this guy still tries to go after her. So they've had no negative interactions. They've had their little banter. They've been friendly with each other. And he's still like, I'm gonna fucking kill you. And she's like, why? And he says, War left the innocents, but the riders aren't innocent. So what do you think is gonna happen to them? They get into a tussle and Miriam manages to get him in the stomach with an axe. So rest in peace, Queen. Hussein.
Get him.
She goes to the burned patch of land where they set off bombs. So that's what the loud boom was. And she finds a coffin-shaped hole in the ground. And at the bottom is War. Deimos comes up behind her, and she can tell that Deimos is, like, really sad.
Oh!
Yeah.
He was, like, rubbing his little head on her.
Yeah, his daddy got blown up.
Does she have his head with her?
Yeah. In her bag, yeah.
Is she gonna go down and, like, put his head on his body?
Oh, just wait.
She snuggles the horse and cries, and when she analyzes War again, she sees that he's covered in little bombs. So the plan was to, I guess, cut off his head, blow him up, and then place bombs all over him. So when he starts to regenerate and he moves, he just gets blown up again.
So it's just like an endless cycle.
Grenade. Jesus.
She climbs into the hole and uses Deimos to lift War out. But War's arm slips because he's dead, essentially. And it sets off an explosion. War wakes up to a blown up Miriam. She's dead. Half her body is gone.
She's in pieces. pieces.
Yeah.
He holds her to him and starts chanting in angelic. He closes his eyes, and then when he wakes up, he's in front of Thanatos, who is Death, the fourth horseman. He begs for Miriam's life, but Thanatos is like, she's already crossed, so has your child. But War just keeps begging. He tells War to surrender his sword and his purpose, and he's got himself a deal. So Miriam comes back and professes her undying love for War. He tells her what happened and that he traded his life for hers, and he is mortal now.
Yeah, holy fuck. So he's no just powers, no nothing, just a hot ass dude.
He's just a dude. He's just Jason Momoa now.
He is Jason Momoa, yes.
Is she still pregnant?
Yes. Yeah. 2 years pass. Miriam had found her mother and sister. They're alive, which I don't remember if they explained, but they just got separated in the explosion. They meet War, and her mom is like, really, Miriam, a horseman? Really? But soon after, somewhere in the world, the ground shakes, and the third horseman is like, hey, the end.
I'm here.
He's like, hey, I'm alive.
Surprise, shawty.
Yeah.
Surprise, shawty.
So, Riley, how many red pepper emojis do you give this one?
I think I give this one 4. I liked it.
There were lots of, like, twists and, like, you know.
Yes.
And also turns.
I will say it was very wishy-washy. Like, the whole, I love you, I don't. That, it did get old. I can see where that frustrated you.
And I clipped a lot of it out.
You did. Do you think War's sexy?
Yeah. Sure do.
Would you trade places with Miriam?
I mean, maybe.
The trauma.
You'd be less wishy-washy.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. The book would have ended 400 pages sooner.
As soon as he was like,
you're my wife. I would have been like, yeah, I am. Let's go.
And then everyone would have died except for you.
Rest in peace.
All right. Well, next week, we're telling Riley all about Famine by Laura Thalassa, which is the third book in the Four Horsemen series. And we're going to have her look at the cover and give us her best guess on what it might be about. This one's the best one.
All right. It's just another ripped dude on the cover. I'm 30, but I think I know what this word means. Like, you know, starving people and
famished.
So I think he's gonna come, but I mean, he already has. He's gonna touch down on Earth, say, hey, hello, I'm here. And he's gonna cause like worldwide starvation and hunger and like deplete all the supplies from the Earth. There's gonna be one fucking bitch again. That's going to be like, I can stop him. I can stop him. And that's what's going to happen. And they're going to fuck.
That's the episode.
Done.
Boom. Done.
All right. So next week, we're telling Riley all about Death by Laura Thalassa. All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at @SmutUpAndListenPodcast and on TikTok at @SmutUpAndListen.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at @SmutUpAndListenPodcast and on TikTok at @SmutUpAndListen.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.